One announcement that needs to be made. Brother Cox's Sunday morning class will meet in the American Heritage Center this morning at 9:45. It will meet. We want to welcome those of you who are visiting with us. I wonder if you'd raise your hand if you're visiting. Could you tell us who you are? We're happy to have you. It's always a pleasant experience having you with us. We enjoy you. We enjoy your children. We enjoy having you with us to worship, to gather about the table. What a great privilege it is to be a Christian. I'm thankful to be back with you today after having been gone for 2 weeks. It's a pleasure again singing with you and worshiping and meeting with you around this table. I'm reading from Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 13 and 14. In this passage, Joshua, speaking for God, says this: I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you dwell therein. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive yards which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. At the close of that great man's illustrious career as the general of the armed forces of Israel and as the leader of the people of Israel, Joshua summons the people one day and reviewed for them their great heritage in God and what he had done for them. And then he makes a statement from God concerning the great heritage that God had actually given these people from his hand, and then he charges them with a responsibility. And in this simple charge, there are two words that he uses, and these two words, I suppose, are some of the most important words in the human language. You wouldn't suspect that they were all that important, frankly. One of these words is the word now. The other word is the word therefore. But you put these two words together, now, therefore, and these words speak of human responsibility. They speak of personal responsibility. Civilization could not exist were there not a generous supply of these now, therefore people in the world. People who accept with responsibility that which has been handed to them by someone else, that which has been accomplished not by them but by others. We see it in every phase of our lives. It's in the simple things as well as the complex. The responsibility that comes from simply being alive and being a human being. When you ladies go on a shopping spree and you get your basket all piled high with things that you didn't build or make or design or sew or create, and you can't resist them and you put that thing till the basket just brims full, then you go up to the cash register and the cash register says $48.65. That's your now therefore sign. There it is. Now therefore, it's your time. When you sit at a meal in a restaurant and eat food that you did not prepare, and then here comes the waiter and he slips you the now therefore ticket, it's your time. He's had his go, now it's your responsibility. It's your time to do something. I've just returned from a trip halfway around the world, and I flew in airplanes that I didn't build or pilot, and I ate food at 37,000 feet that I didn't prepare. Toward the end of this month, I'm going to get a now therefore bill from the airlines, and I'll be quite a while, if it weren't for other people helping me, I'd be quite a while filling that responsibility. Today is a now therefore day for every Christian. This hour of worship is a now therefore hour. This table is a now therefore meal. As we consider all the things that God has done for us, we stand here today as a now therefore people, because we determine each one of us again to rededicate ourselves as we eat this supper today. Again, I rededicated myself to live according to the principles that caused Jesus Christ to give his life for other people. This is a now therefore hour. But today, in a very special sense, is a now therefore day for those of you who are graduating. You've come to an hour in your life that can only be described in the language that the writer here uses as he describes Joshua's charge to the people of Israel. Now therefore. And today, young people, when you receive your diploma and you take your tassel and put it on the other side of your board that you'll be wearing, that's your now therefore gesture. You're saying, in view of all that I've received, now therefore, I accept the responsibility of what I have been given and I will use it responsibly. You know, in the last 10 years, we've heard a lot about and a lot from what has been called the now generation. I think it's high time we heard a lot about and learned a lot from the now therefore generation. I don't know what generation you're a part of, but if you're a part of the now generation, that's one thing. But you need to be a part of the now therefore generation. One of the things that has characterized the now generation is irresponsibility. The thing that characterizes the now therefore generation is a very deep and real sense of responsibility with accepting what you have been given from other people and from God with a very deep sense of responsibility. Your heritage, you know, is very great. I don't know that there's any way of measuring the measure and the extent of the heritage that you and I receive as just simply being human beings. The things that you've been given by other people that you had nothing really to do with. We spend a lot of our time being occupied with receiving gifts from the hand of God. Things that you probably don't deserve. Aren't you glad you don't get what you deserve? But we spend our times receiving things that God has given to us all quite freely from his own hand. Joshua, in this passage here, was reminding the people of Israel of the things that God had given them. I've given you a land on which you didn't labor, and cities that you didn't build, and you dwell in it, and you dwell in them. And he said, you eat the fruit of vineyards and olive yards that you didn't plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in truth. There are many things in your life that you could describe like that. Paul told the people of Lystra, he said that God has never left himself without witness, but has given you from heaven rain and fruitful seasons and has filled your heart with food and gladness. James advises us Christians that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. The beauties and the bounties of nature are your heritage. The great advantages of being an American citizen, that's our heritage. The great boundless blessings of being a Christian, that's our heritage, thank God. And from that you can go to whatever blessing you choose. We are indeed blessed and rich in our heritage. One of the things is your Christian education. That's quite a heritage. I don't know whether you're aware of it or not. Those of you in the older generation, the then generation, and really back when generation, if you've had a Christian education, it's been a very great blessing to you. Those of you today, your Christian education is indeed a great blessing. Many of these things that we're talking about today, actually not only have they been given to us by God, but he goes on and describes them as things for which really we had very little to do, or with which we had very little to do in producing. He said, I've given you a land that you didn't even work over, and yet here you are possessing it. I've given you cities that you didn't build, and here you are inhabiting them. I've given you olive yards and vineyards that you didn't plant, and yet here you are eating the fruit of them. You know, we drink water from wells that we didn't dig. You and I fly in airplanes that we didn't build, nor do we pilot. We drive on streets that we didn't pave. We read Bibles that we did not translate. And we share in a heritage for which we are not responsible, really, in the sense of providing it, but for which we, I pray, will act responsibly in receiving it. There are many things that are of this nature. Your education is one of them. Oh, you say, but I've paid for my education. No, you haven't either. Not really. Or you've paid for a small part of it, but not really much of it. As much as you've paid for your tuition and all, that much again has to be raised by someone else, from someone else, in order that you might benefit from your tuition, from your training. And you inhabited buildings that you didn't build. And for these 4 years, if you've been here that long, you've inhabited a campus that you didn't purchase. And you've enjoyed benefits that you really did not, or could not be said to have been responsible for. All of these things, you see, they're things that really you didn't have anything to do with. All you were a part of was simply that part of receiving it. You've been the beneficiary. You've been the one to receive it. And then there's something extra special, not just buildings and not just campus, not just facilities. There's something extra special that you've received by being a part of Christian education. And it's that indefinable, it's that indefinable something that characterizes this Christian community. It's the whole atmosphere of the campus. It's the spirit that has been handed down and that has accumulated over the years, that you've become a part of, and that has become a part of you, simply by the virtue of the fact that you've been in the midst of a group of people and in the midst of a community where the name of Jesus Christ was held in reverence and where God's name has been honored. You've been a part of that. And it's this extra plus that God has given you, in addition to what other people have received who are your peers, you've received this extra special something. This is your heritage, and I know you're thankful for it. That accumulative spirit that has been handed down from the great teachers, men and women who have gone before, these men and women, one and all, have been responsible for the building up and the residual effect of this spirit that pervades this campus and this community. And actually, their sacrificial lives and what they've done for you years and years ago, even before you were born, has been transmitted and transmuted into your very hands and your brain, to where it has actually become energy. It has become enthusiasm. It has become direction. It has become meaning and purpose. And you've been given ideals that cause you to strive for Christian excellence in a way that people who have no purpose and who have less direction cannot imagine existing. This is your heritage. You didn't have anything to do with it. Some of you were sent here by parents and you didn't even want to come. And you grumbled and you griped and you complained until finally, in about your third year, it began to dawn on you what was happening. And some of you won't even dawn on you till after you've already gone. And you'll write back like so many do and say, thank God, I'm so glad I was there. Some of you think it might be improved, the spirit and the attitudes and the way that things are done around here, and that's probably right. And many students do improve the attitude, and many students do improve the IQ when they leave the place, it's improved when you leave, some of you. But that's just part of your heritage, your association with this congregation. And I'm taking the privilege of speaking primarily, I think, to those of you students. Your association with this congregation is a rare privilege. It's part of your heritage. The buildings, you didn't have anything to do with building. The eldership, the long hours of decisions that go into the making of this program so that it works and so that it's an inspiration and so that it's a glory to God, you don't have anything to do with that. The thousands of man hours that have gone into the pulpit preaching in this congregation over the years, you didn't have anything to do with providing that. The teaching program, you have very little to do with that. The missionaries who come and go in this congregation and touch your lives and leave on you something of their greatness and of their dedication, you don't really have a lot to do with that. On rare occasions, you're given an opportunity to somewhat contribute maybe to a special occasion, but their going out into the world was not the result of your vision. Don't you see? All of these things are things that have been given you. Cities that you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant, campuses that you didn't purchase, facilities that you did not secure. All of these things have been given to you. And at the hand of God, they've been given to you as well as to me and others before us. And what you do with it depends or determines how responsible you're acting before God. Our very existence as Christians is a gift that cannot be determined as far as its magnitude. And all of it's free. In Romans the 5th chapter and verse 6, Paul says that whenever we were weak, while we were yet weak, at the right time Christ died for us. And then on down in verse 8 he says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have anything to offer. This was something that came to us. This was one of the cities that we didn't build. This was one of the fruits of the vineyard that we didn't plant. And here it has been given to us freely. When he wrote to the Ephesians, he made this statement, "You've been saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. This is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You've been saved by grace." And when he wrote to Titus, he makes the same statement there, that we were all, he said, once foolish and deceived and slaves to various passions and pleasures, spending our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another. But then he said, when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward man appeared, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not by works done in righteousness, which we ourselves did, but in view of or in virtue of his own mercy, which he poured out upon us richly in Christ Jesus our Savior. Now, that's a bit different translation, but I wanted to translate it like that because that's the way it literally is. It's the mercy of God that's been poured out upon us richly in Christ Jesus our Savior. And it's by his grace. He said, so that we might be justified by his grace and might become heirs in hope of eternal life. Yes, our heritage is great. So great that the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the Romans, after 11 chapters of reviewing and stating the greatness and the magnitude of our heritage in Jesus Christ and in God, Paul bursts forth in this anthem of praise when he said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given him a gift that it might be repaid him? For of him and through him and unto him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." That was the expression of Paul's feeling as far as the magnitude of the heritage that we as Christians enjoy. But you know, our responsibility is just as great. When Joshua said, "I've given you cities and vineyards and olive yards and all that you had nothing to do with establishing, and yet here you are participating in the fruits of them," then he said, "Here's your responsibility. Now therefore, fear the Lord, reverence him, Now therefore reverence the Lord and serve him with sincerity and truth. What is your responsibility today? You've been sitting in buildings that you didn't direct. You've been under the oversight of elders that you had nothing to do with appointing. You've been enjoying all these benefits and enjoying the things that really you had nothing or very little to do with. What is your responsibility? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad that I don't have to pay in full for what I've received from Christian education and from congregations such as this and from my association with the Church of the Lord throughout my life. I'm thankful that I don't have to go back and pay everybody in full in some monetary way for what I've received. Wouldn't you hate to have to do that? I'm glad I don't have to go back and pay the price for those who've made Christian education possible. I'm glad I don't have to go back and pay every congregation, the elders and the preachers and the teachers, for what they've done for me. I'm thankful to God that I don't have to pay God back in the sense of matching it tit for tat, you know. He's given me all this and I've given him this much in return and it's balanced off. I'm glad I don't have to do that. But what is your responsibility? Your responsibility and mine is simply this: fear God and serve him in sincerity and truth. That's all that's required. That's what Joshua asked of these people. That's what God asked. Joshua is just reporting what God said. God only said, I want you simply to serve me. I want you to reverence me. That's your responsibility. And young people, if the great men, the great teachers who have gone before you and who've gone before this institution in the past, those great men, and some of them are still living today, in fact, all of them are still living today who are alive. Those who are dead, the great ones, have died and have gone before, leaving us this legacy. Every last one of them were to stand here today. If they were to tell you and leave this charge with you, they'd leave simply one charge. And that simple charge would be this. You could ask them, what can we do to repay you? I dare say there wouldn't be a single one of those men stand up and say, yes, I've really given all my all that I've got. I've given everything I have. I've sacrificed. And you wouldn't hear them say any of these things and bemoan how much they've given and all that and brag about it. They'd simply say to you one thing: here's all I want of you. Reverence God and serve him in sincerity and truth. That's all they'd ask. If the elders that have served this congregation and are gone, plus the ones who are still living, and the faithful gospel preachers who've occupied this pulpit, plus the teachers in our Bible school, plus the deacons and all those who've served this congregation, if they could all stand before you one by one today, I have a feeling that every one of them would say this: here's the way you can repay. Reverence God and serve him with sincerity and truth. That's what God asks of you. When Paul had finished this great exclamation of his appreciation for what God had done for us in 11:33 through 35, then in chapter 12 and verse 1 of Romans, he makes this statement. After saying, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, then Paul says, I therefore beseech you, in view of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable. That's all he asked. Oh, he could have sent you a bill that would have curled your hair. If God had sent you a bill for what he's done for you, it'd be like the man in the parable that Jesus told where he owed his master $10 million in a time when they were making about a penny a day. An impossibility. You couldn't possibly repay it. But he just simply says, here's all I ask of you. Just reverence me and serve me with sincerity and in truth. The Hebrew writer makes the same charge in the 12th chapter, when he there makes the statement, seeing that we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let's be grateful and offer to God sacrifices, the fruit of lips that are well-pleasing to God. That's what he's saying. That's what Joshua was saying. I have given you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you dwell therein. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive yards which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. As you go forth from here today, will you be a responsible generation of people? If you will, then those men and women who labored so among you and who sacrificed so greatly that you might be where you are today, if you'll go out as a responsible generation of young people, then they will not have labored in vain, and they'll not have served you in vain, and Jesus Christ will not have died in vain, because they served you because Jesus died, and they sacrificed because Jesus sacrificed. And as you go out of here today, don't go out as a now generation. Go forth from here as a now therefore generation that's ready to say to the world, I am going forth to act in a responsible manner. In view of what all has been done for me, you can expect me to act accordingly, and I'll fulfill my responsibility. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in truth. This is the challenge that Jesus Christ issues to you today as he extends his invitation for you to follow him. For he was, of course, the most responsible as he responded to God and as he responded to your needs. He simply asks you to follow in his steps and therefore to act responsibly. And God bless you. May this be your determination today. I charge you in this moment to simply be what you ought to be in view of what's been done for you. It's been a great deal, and I hope that you're aware of it. May God bless us. Will you come while we stand and sing?
Come ye that love the Lord, and let your joys be known.